8:06, it's Hot Talk 99.5. It's the Hot Talk Morning Show, along with Dave Priest and Leanne Graham. Appreciate you being here with us on this Tuesday. We've got a lot of things happening in the second half of our show. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to be talking to Congressman Tom Rice. He's got a blood drive, actually, that's going to be going on this coming Thursday at his offices. He'll tell you more about that. And we'll also ask him about the, possibly the next round of coronavirus stimulus and what's going to be going on in Capitol Hill. That's all coming up in just about 30 minutes. Coming up in 1 hour from right now, we're going to be talking to the South Carolina representative from MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. Really looking forward to that. I mean, and you listen to Coast to Coast every morning on
UAN.
Oh,
you know I do. I have a lot of questions.
But 2 weeks ago, I think of July 2nd officially, was World UFO Day. And I had that written on my calendar, but between all the coronavirus stuff, I just forgot about it. And so I got in touch with them, and they said, yeah, we'll be happy to come on. So we're going to talk to them about a couple of weeks late, but still, we'll talk about UFOs. That's coming up in about 1 hour here on Hot Talk 99.5. Talking about something that's a little bit closer to home, though, right now. The South Carolina Research Authority is a group that is trying to, well, help get things done as far as coronavirus research is concerned. Bob Quinn is on the phone with us right now from SCRA. And thanks for joining us here today, Bob. Appreciate that.
Good morning, Dave. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, well, first of all, you know, I'm trying to read this up as much as I can, but explain to everybody what the South Carolina Research Authority does and what you're trying to do right now as far as COVID-19 research goes.
Sure. So SCRA is a public nonprofit corporation. So what that means is that we were established by the General Assembly, but we do not receive any direct funding from the state. And our mission is to fuel the state's innovation economy. So we do that in a variety of ways by supporting entrepreneurs, industry, and academia. So for entrepreneurs, those that are accepted into our SC Launch program are eligible for mentoring, grants, and investments. We're a seed-stage investor. For academia, we fund research that is very industry-driven, not research for research's sake, but to meet the highest priority needs of industry. And often we'll fund projects that involve multiple academic institutions, including Coastal Carolina. And then with regard to industry, we engage them, we understand what their highest priority needs are, and then we essentially serve as their broker. We identify the solutions, technology-based solutions to those needs, and then we facilitate those relationships often by providing grants. And then finally, we own and or manage 1.3 million square feet of laboratory and office space throughout the state. So with regard to COVID, a few months ago, after the outbreak of the pandemic, we very much felt that it was consistent with our mission, incumbent on us to be able to enable some solutions towards the pandemic itself, as well as the corollary issues. So we dedicated an additional $1.5 million in grants and investments and loans. So for the grants and investments, those are to companies that are providing either directly now or under development solutions for COVID-related issues. And then with regard to the emergency assistance loans, those are for some of our existing SC Launch companies that have been affected adversely because of the economic downturn associated with the pandemic.
Well, I want to start with the question about the virus itself and how it came on so quickly. And we were surprised to see so many companies respond quickly with potential drugs to treat the disease, with vaccines, with testing. How is it that organizations such as yours that help companies to quickly launch things that may have just been investigational research before we knew about the virus?
Yeah, that's a great question. And often the smaller the company, the more nimble they are and how quickly they can pivot. And so a number of those did it on their own, but we, through these through this mentoring and through this financial assistance, enabled them to do that. Now, certainly there are major international companies that are working on vaccines And they've been able to dedicate a tremendous amount of resources, either on their own or through guarantees from the federal government, to be able to react very, very, very quickly. But let me give you an example of a company that quickly pivoted. It's a company called Zverse, and their main job, their core business, is a 3D printing platform that allow people to do 3D printing very, very easily. And when they realized the absence or the dearth of protective equipment, they started printing shields for service providers, for healthcare providers, and they realized they started getting a deluge of orders, and they realized that they were not able to meet that demand through 3D printing. So we helped them and introduced them to injection molders and other manufacturers. And now, believe it or not, this small company out of Colombia is one of the largest producers of these shields in the country. They're currently producing over 20 million orders by the end of this month. And another example of how these companies can innovate, they now have a new product line for service providers, such as in the food service. So rather than the shield resting on the head, it rests on the collarbone and points upward. Hmm. And as such, it's much more comfortable to wear over the course of an 8-hour or more shift. And then they just introduced a new product line for youth as well. And so, for example, those for teachers, we believe that the shields would be more effective than masks because children with special needs or those that have English as a second language, being able to see the teacher's lips is very, very important and part of the teaching mm-hmm. process. And so here's a company that 3 months ago was not in the shield business and is now one of the leaders in the country.
Bob Quinn is with the South Carolina Research Authority. Is there anything else as far as the COVID-19 pandemic that people are working on specifically? The face shields, and we've heard about people doing all sorts of things with 3D printers here when this first started up about 4 months ago. Anything that you're hearing right now that people are working on that are innovations in other parts of, well, other aspects of need during this pandemic?
Mm-hmm. One area that has been, I believe, underreported is the dearth of swabs. Obviously, these swabs are absolutely vital in terms of the collection of samples for testing. There's only one major swab company in all of North America up in Maine, and there's one in Italy and a handful in China. And so one of our companies, Huwaki, yes, that is their name, they have a platform technology for surface treatment. And so they, with our assistance, started producing these swabs. And because of the surface treatment, they're able to accumulate the RNA sample that's needed for testing as much as eightfold over traditional swabs. Now, there have been a number of efforts to fill the void, such as 3D printing, and we're aware of one major hospital system that made a rather substantial order of these 3D printed swabs and had to throw them away because they were incredibly uncomfortable for the patient, whereas these Huwaki swabs are much more comfortable and of course, much more productive in terms of getting the sample itself. And then one other, and it's, I also think has been underreported, is the long-term health effects from those that recover from the virus. Still a lot unknown in that regard, but we're starting to have a better understanding that there could be, in many cases, long-term lung damage. And so we have funded another one of our companies, Elastrin, which has a proprietary technology to restore the elasticity in the lungs, which is affected through respiratory damage, such as what is the result of viruses such as COVID.
So there's some questions that we have particular to our area as far as how long it takes to get a COVID-19 test processed. And with our high heat and humidity, many people have questioned the use of the pointer thermometers that just point at your forehead. And would that be able to accurately tell our temperature if we've been out doing yard work all day? Are these the kind of questions that affect our community that lead to the work of the SCRA?
Well, certainly we are focusing on supporting early stage and more established companies that have a variety of solutions so that it's not a single point type of solution, but rather a variety of ways of testing, a variety of ways of screening, so that you don't have either single point success or single point failure, but rather a whole panoply of solutions, so that you can account for if one does not work exactly, that you have others as backups.
Well, as far as anything else, now obviously you started off saying that you've been doing this for almost like four decades now, as far as the South Carolina Research Authority is concerned. So obviously, when the pandemic started around, you pivoted to try to find out new solutions to that. I mean, obviously, you've been working, not just you, but I mean the company and everybody else have been working for decades to try to make innovations. What are some of the other big things that are going on around the state right now that some startup companies or some tech companies are working on that could become national trends or national phenomena anytime soon?
Yeah, great question. There's a company in the upstate, Proterra, which is an electric bus company. This company came to South Carolina from the Midwest back in 2011, and they were very early stage and had some guarantee of funding from a venture capitalist. Well, when they landed in South Carolina, the VC pulled out, and so we and the upstate Angel Network came in and provided funding that, void of that funding, they would have folded. They are now a company with buses throughout the United States and now have a valuation over $1 billion. So those are called unicorns. And so we're hopeful that they will have an exit of either an initial public offering or an acquisition in the foreseeable future, so that we can harvest the returns from our early investment. And that's what this is all about, is to have those returns so that it provides us with additional resources to reinvest in new companies and new ideas. Another company it goes back to the to COVID that we recently invested in. They're a molecular diagnostics company, and they quickly pivoted to being able to measure COVID, and that's Precision Genetics. And so they are going like gangbusters as well. So all told, we have a portfolio of some 65 companies throughout the state. Many are having a dramatic impact, basically in terms of transforming their respective industries. So it's very exciting and rewarding to be able to enable that, because often we're the first investor beyond friends and family. Before the VCs are interested, because often you have to be at a certain level of scale for the VCs to come in. And so we de-risk the company and provide that early capital that they so desperately need.
You know, Bob, we have a lot of different investment programs on our radio station. A lot of our listeners probably care more about the things you've said about investment versus our science conversation. Is SCRA an organization where someone like an angel investor could who's looking for a better place to invest their money, or maybe a local way to invest their money versus the stock market, can they get involved on a one-on-one basis?
We do not take direct investments from others. However, as we are investing potentially in a company and doing due diligence, if there are individuals who are interested in joining us in that investment, we certainly would be open to that. But that's the beauty of organizations like Venture South, which is a network of angel networks. So there's some, I believe it's up to 13 in both North and South Carolina that they manage. And so they add a great efficiency to the system. And so we often will co-invest with Venture South, and then their individual angel investors participate through them. But another way for people to participate, I mentioned we don't receive any direct funding from the state. We do benefit from a state tax credit called the Industry Partnership Fund. And so those that contribute to this fund receive a one-for-one credit on their state tax obligation. So in essence, you can either write a check to the Department of Revenue or write a check to the Industry Partnership Fund. In the case of the IPF, you know exactly how those funds are being deployed in a highly impactful way. And for example, our total impact on the state of South Carolina last year was almost $700 million.
Wow. Good stuff. If you want to find out more, go online to scra.org, scra.org, to find out more about the South Carolina Research Authority. Bob Quinn, thanks for your time here today. Appreciate it, and keep us updated on all the innovations.